So for today's message, I'm going to start us off with a question. Do you have a dream for your life? Do you have some ambition, something that you want to accomplish, a person that you want to become, right? All of us, we kind of do as we grow up. It kind of changes. When I started off, I had a dream to become a fireman. You know, when you fill out in the school form, you know, what you want to become, become an accountant, engineer. So it keeps changing. Now, will you agree with me that all our dreams and ambition and the things that we want to achieve in life will be so much easier to actually reach if we have what it takes, if we have everything that it took to overcome all the challenges in life, every trial, every hardship that comes our way, if we had what it takes to overcome all of that, it would be much easier to reach what God has called us to do in this life if we also had the courage to do so, to overcome some of our fears, our limitations, our doubts. Some of us, we feel like it's so tough, you know, accomplishing our dreams in life. We feel like sometimes we're not good enough. You're not smart enough, not beautiful enough, not rich enough, not free enough, whatever, okay? Now, today, we are in this message series called Be Strong and Courageous. We're going to look at the book of Joshua, okay, in the Bible, where God was telling Joshua as he steps out into his calling. God says, be strong and courageous. What God says here in verse 6 of Joshua, be strong and courageous, for you shall cause these people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. So, backstory is, Joshua has a dream to enter this promised land. But it wasn't just his dream. It was the nation's dream. That means everybody, okay, the whole community, they dreamt this when they were young. They dreamed that they could one day enter into the promised land that God has for them. But it wasn't also just the nation's dream. It was also the dream that God has given to the nation. It originally promised to Abraham, originally promised to Moses and all of that. God was behind this dream. God was behind this ambition, this thing that they needed to fulfill. And it makes sense then, because God is the one backing this dream, then God is also the one that would make the way. God is the one that would provide what it needed to be able to reach this dream. Right? So we can say that strength and courage rest on God's purpose. That means for us to have all the strength that we're going to need for this life, all the courage that we are going to need to thrive in this life, it really depends whether we are aligned to God's purpose. Make sense? So the big question then is, what is God's purpose for me? What is God's purpose for you, all of us? Now, I have no clue what God's purpose is for you, because likely it's going to be different for everybody. And I believe that God's purpose is unchanging. That means no matter what we do, it's the same. God's purpose for each and every one of us. What changes is the way we approach or the way we align ourselves to God's purpose, right? Sometimes we pray, we ask God, God, what do you want me to do? Sometimes we try different things, we do different ministries, just kind of find out what God's purpose is, okay? And so today, we're going to look into the Bible, we're going to look at Joshua to see that even though he has this great purpose that God has in mind for him, we're going to see what he did exactly to align himself to God's purpose. And it says here, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant. Okay, so all this while, Joshua had been Moses' assistant. And at this time, Moses has passed away already. And now is Joshua's turn to finally step into the calling that God has for him, to step into his destiny, his dream, all right? And so the very first thing that God spoke to Joshua after the death of Moses was to arise. He has to arise. And here in this context, it means that because Moses has passed away, that means, imagine with me, okay, this Moses, this is the great Moses, okay, that defied the Egyptians, brought all the Israelites out of the land of Egypt, right? Parted the Red Sea, brought them to the wilderness, God fed them, you know, he hit rock, water, all that, okay, the great leader and prophet Moses has passed away. So, the land is in mourning. Okay, people were sad, okay? People were feeling depressed. Some people were feeling, you know, maybe a bit hopeless. You know, what are we going to do now? Moses is gone, okay? What are we going to do? All right, and as they were mourning, God said to Joshua, Joshua, you kind of need to shift a little bit from this mourning. We got to get up out of it to go into a different kind of thing, a different kind of mode. And Joshua had to kind of change himself, pull himself out of that mourning state to go into battle mode because he's about to enter into the promised land. So for Joshua, there is a posture that he needed to change. It's the same for all of us. There is a posture. So, likely for all of us, if we want to align ourselves to God's purpose, there is a posture that we need to shift. And traditionally, Joshua had fantastic posture, because if you remember, Joshua is one of the 12 spies that were being sent into the promised land way earlier before, right, to kind of check out, scope out the land, do a bit of recce, you know, see what's up, right? And only him and another guy called Caleb, they came back with good report, right? While the rest of the guys, the other 10 people, they saw the problems, they saw the challenges, they saw the difficulties, they saw the impossibility, they saw, you know, the giants that they needed to fight, they saw the fortified city. But Joshua, he saw what God sees. He saw the promise. He saw the future. He saw the good things, right? A land that's flowing with milk and honey. Okay? And so Joshua, it's very much accustomed to having this posture where he considers what God considers. He considers what God sees in that sense. The right posture often doesn't feel right at first. Okay, so this is the tip for us. How to know whether you have the right posture or not. Okay, the tip is the right posture often doesn't feel right at first. Let me illustrate to you. All of you, you're seated here. Are you sitting with the right posture? Okay, suddenly everybody kind of sit a little bit straighter, shoulders back. Now, you know that is the right posture, but it is uncomfortable for most of us at first. Why? Because many years of bad habits, slouching over. We know it's right, but it doesn't feel right, right? We can hardly maintain this posture. It's tough, okay? We have to kind of challenge ourselves to do that. It's the same in the spiritual. You see, when we adopt God's posture, it often doesn't feel right at first. Let me tell you what happened to my house, okay? In the beginning of the year, I moved into this new condo unit. Now, backstory is, many years ago, when we first planted the church in Cyberjaya, me and my wife, we wanted to move to Cyberjaya to be there, you know, to kind of do work there, minister there, do life group and all that. So we were searching for different places. And this place was our first love. When we fell in love with this place, we said, this is where we want to move in, to live, to grow up here and all that thing. And unfortunately, it's too expensive for us. We couldn't afford the place. And so we got a smaller unit, much smaller, you know, like I think it's about 500 square feet, kind of studio, no rooms. And when we had Ender, my son, after that, we realized there's just not enough space. You know, how is Ender going to grow? There's not even a room for him. So we had to find a new place, find a bigger place. So we scoured the land of Cyberjaya, called different property agents to go for viewing, to check out different places, see whether we like it, see whether it's suitable, big enough, all those things. At the end of one viewing, we went back home and I kind of told my wife, why don't we find back our first love? Maybe price has dropped. Maybe it's cheaper now. Okay, maybe. I told her, how about we look at auction properties? Because sometimes people default on their loans and maybe bank, you know, release it cheap. And so she kind of do a Google search. She found one and she called the auction agent. And the auction agent said, you know, this unit is available for auction, but you have to register now in the next 15 minutes because deadline closed at 5 o'clock. Next morning is the auction. But we scrambled for that. Long story short, we went to the auction house the next morning. And to our surprise, no one else was there to bid with us. And so we were just waiting. Nobody is coming and showing up. By the way, if no one comes up and bid with you, you just get it at whatever the bank wants to sell. You don't have to, you know, outbid anybody. But at the very last minute, okay, about 10 minutes before the auction started, auction 9 o'clock, about 8:50, 8:45, a guy showed up. And this guy, he was an investor. And so much so that the auction agent, they know him as a regular. I mean, this guy has been doing this for a while, all right? And so what was interesting is that this guy, this investor, he approached us and he told us, he said, how about you pay me 5,000 ringgit and I will drop out of the auction? What will you do? Now, hear me out, okay? In my mind, the way that I look at it, I'm thinking about this deal that's presented itself in front of me. I'm thinking, this guy's an investor. He has probably, you know, tons of property that, you know, he doesn't need this exact one. Not like me, you know, I have a family. I'm thinking of getting a bigger place. So I kind of really need it. Not only that, I'm thinking that this 5,000 is not that big a deal to pay in order to get my dream home. Because as it was explained to me, the auction, how it works is every increment is 5,000. So you bid. If this guy come in, he bid up 5,000. By the time it comes back to me, I'm already down by 10,000, all right? So 5,000 is actually a small figure. I don't feel like I'm losing money. I feel like I'm saving money in the long run. Okay? And ethically, you know, I don't really look at it as a bribe, because I feel like bribe is maybe something you want to get yourself out of trouble or get something illegal or something that you couldn't get otherwise. I feel like not really a bribe, collusion maybe. You know, he win, I win, that kind of thing. That was my perspective. And so time running out, I told my wife, why don't we pray? Because from my point of view, it looks like, it feels like I should, you know, just pay him 5,000, and I get my dream house, you know, 5,000 small thing. But we prayed, we wanted to figure out what was God's posture on this deal. What was his perspective? What did he see? I thought it's important to do that. And as we were praying, God said to us, he said that if this property is something that I'm blessing you in, it's God's blessing, then I feel that we don't have to manipulate the situation in order to get God's blessing. And so we went back to this guy and we said to him with a very heavy heart, reluctantly I said, because I knew that my dream is getting away from me. You know what I'm saying? We cannot outbid this guy. This guy got tons more money than us. And we told this guy, we said, it's okay, if you want, you can come in and bid with us. We don't mind, we will fight with you, but we will not pay you a single cent, okay? I was very sad. It felt so wrong, okay, to let go. I'm so close to it. And then a few minutes later, you know, the auction started, and lo and behold, this guy doesn't show up. The original price, the SPA price for this unit, 1,005 plus square feet, and it went for 960,000. A bit expensive, I know, but I got it that day for 450,000 ringgit, okay? So thank God, okay? Thank God I decided to figure out what was God's position on this thing, okay? And so for all of us, whatever decisions that we have to make in life, whether it's business, you know, family decisions, personal decisions, we want to figure out what is the right posture. What is God thinking about this deal? What is God's plan? What is in his mind? Okay, so there is a right posture. All right, let's move on. Okay, in verse 3, it says, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. So here we see that Joshua, not only, you know, was he promised the dream and all that from, you know, the beginning of time, so to speak, but it also speaks to the fact that God doesn't just give the dream and doesn't just give the promise, just doesn't just hand it out in that sense. Joshua had to actually step out or step in to this place to do the work. He had to go and fight, you know, the giants. He had to cross this river himself, okay? In other words, when God gives us a dream or a promise or a vision or something that he wants us to accomplish, it won't just fall into our lap. We have to step out in faith in order to claim this promise. So this is exactly what Joshua had to do. Again, so God had called him to a place. That means that for all of us, there is a place where we can align ourselves to God's purpose. And for Joshua, God says to cross the Jordan River. And so if you Google it and you look at it, you're thinking to yourself, not bad. It doesn't look too, you know, dangerous or anything. The Jordan River, by fact, is some parts of it is only 3 feet deep. other parts is about up to 10 feet deep. So pretty crossable. A lot of people, I think even today, get baptized. How cool is it? I think Jesus himself got baptized in this river, right? So you're thinking, no big deal. This is where God has called Joshua to be. But two chapters later in Joshua, the Bible describes what the Jordan looks like. And it says that its river banks are overflowing. That means it tells us that it's probably the beginning of spring. That means the snow from the mountains are beginning to melt. Okay, and all it's all running into the river. And so the river has swelled up, has become deeper, has become wider, and has become more dangerous, more treacherous. So if instead you go into Google and you search Jordan River and you add the word overflowing, you get a completely different river altogether. The whole nation must have seen this and thought twice, you know, of crossing. I mean, who wants to bring their family across this? You know, I don't think I could do it, all right? But, I have come to realize that it is so much better to be in a place that looks dangerous, but God is with you, than it is to be in a place that's so nice, but God is not there. You get what I'm saying, right? And so, for Joshua, they would eventually cross this Jordan, and it says that as they cross, God stopped the river from flowing. That means God held back this river. It's just a standing wall of water. Not only that, it says that everywhere that the Israelites stepped on, they stepped on dry ground. That means that God was so much so with them that even though it looks dangerous, because God's presence was there, because his purpose was there, it made it so safe. Not only safe, it made the Israelites just having to walk across, like a walk in the park. And it goes to show that if God is with us, despite what the place looks like at first, because he's there, he is going to make the way for us. So we have to figure out what this place kind of looks like for us. And so the tip for all of us here is to figure out where's the right place. The right place often doesn't look right at first. It looks dangerous. It looks like, man, who can cross this journey? It looks, you know, terrible. But if God is there with us, that is the right, that's where you want to be. Kind of like how I was climbing Mount Kay, okay, many, many years ago. And now, Mount Kay, it's a strenuous climb, okay? Long climb that takes pretty much the whole day, okay? So you start very early in the morning, about 7, and then you basically hike up this mountain. And it's pretty tiring because when you get to somewhere near the peak, not the peak yet, but, you know, maybe 2/3 of the way, you kind of rest for a little while, sleep for a little while, before the next morning, very early at 2, 1 or 2 a.m. in the morning, you get up again and continue the journey, okay, just so that you can hit the sunrise and not miss it. And so I was so tired, okay, I woke up at 1 o'clock, it's freezing cold outside, 6 degrees temperature, okay, and everybody felt like, man, I wish I brought more clothes, and you're tired from the day before, you can't see, it's pitch black at night, okay, imagine you're hiking 1 a.m. up a mountain, you only have your torchlight with you, if you remember to bring one, if not, it's just the stars and the moon guiding you. You feel it's so hard to breathe because air is so thin there, you know, you're panting, you're dizzy, you feel like vomiting a little bit, you know, and as we were climbing that, okay, that last stretch, okay, I'm sure every climber thinks the same thing, okay? They're thinking, what am I doing here? But if you make it past that, if you reach the summit, the peak, at the right time, on the other side, a beautiful view is greeting you. Something fantastic, just on the other side of what looks terrible. This is a once-in-a-lifetime view, okay? When you are there, you're experiencing, you feel like, man, I've conquered this mountain. You are above the clouds, okay? And you see the sunrise over Sabah, you know, see KK in the distance. And it's all very beautiful, okay? So next year, you can go and try, okay? Now, God did kind of the same thing for Joshua. See, after they crossed the Jordan, what was waiting for them on the other side of it was something that was beautiful. Have you seen Lion King already? Yeah. The Lion King that I know was, there was this one scene right in the beginning, okay, where Mufasa the king, right, was showing Simba, his son, the land, okay, and he says, right, everywhere that the light touches, is yours, okay? This is your kingdom. This is your destiny. You're meant to be the ruler, the king here, okay? Now, God did the exact same thing, okay? Or maybe they stole it from here, okay? It says here, verse 4, okay? From the wilderness, okay, God was showing off the land. And this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea, towards the going down of the sun, shall be your territory, okay? This is where you're meant to be, all right? So don't be afraid. If God has called you to a place that doesn't look right at first, but behind that is always something that is beautiful, you will come to understand, oh, now I know why I needed to go. Now, many years ago, a couple of years ago, I went on a mission trip with Pastor Balan to Pakistan. And it's so hard just to go there to get the visa, because I remember I went to the embassy and I was applying, and I don't know whether it's because I look young and they were asking, where are your parents, okay? And it's not just that, okay? So apparently for me, I needed to get a consent form, okay? And the consent form, my parents need to sign it. And the consent form says, you know, if anything happens to your son, you know, it sounds typical, but you must understand that Pakistan is pretty dangerous, okay? They border Afghanistan. So a lot of terrorist activity there. In fact, just before I went and after I went, there were bombs that in the city that I was in, okay? So it's a majority Muslim nation and the only Christian. It's kind of intimidating. When we got to Pakistan, okay, when we finally arrived and landed there, let me tell you, because of the stereotype that we've been fed through the movies, when I landed there, everybody looked like a terrorist. Okay, everybody had this long beard and they look like they can blow you up. And I'm just, okay, no offense to Pakistanis, but that's just how I, you know, we were fed, okay, through our movies and all that, all right? And so, whoa, I was super stressed out. But the more I spent time there, the more I got to know the people, I realized that's not true at all. In fact, majority of Pakistanis, they are so welcoming and so friendly. You know, you walk down the street in their kind of city, in their village, you know, people will just call you into their house, okay, some strangers, just to have, you know, a cup of tea with them, talk to them, and that's it. The whole kind of neighborhood is like that, okay? And I soon began to realize that there is something behind, you know, what looks dangerous. There's a purpose that God wants to accomplish. And of course, for us at that time, is people needed to hear the gospel. You know, Pakistanis, they need Jesus. Okay, and that's why we were there. That's why we were sharing the message there. All right. And so it is the same for all of us. Don't worry, right? If the place that God has called you to don't look so great at first. But after that, looking back, you realize it is beautiful, all right? So the place, I don't know where that is for you. It could be maybe a position in the company. It could be somewhere serving in ministry. It could be an actual different church. Maybe God has called you to serve in Gateway or come to Cyberjaya. Or, you know, maybe God wants you to move completely, okay, to a different nation, all right? So my only tip for you is if you feel comfortable, if you feel like God has called you to Maldives, to Hawaii, to maybe, okay, maybe pray a little bit harder, okay? I don't know. But there is a place for all of us to be, okay? In order for us to align ourselves to God's purpose. All right, let's move on. All right, verse 5. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. There is a backstory to this. It tells us that Joshua was in a kind of preparation. So there is a preparation that all of us need to go through in order to align ourselves to God's purpose. Joshua, all this while, he was Moses' assistant. And it didn't say that he was the second in command. No, no, this is just the assistant, okay? Meaning, most likely, he is just the PA to Moses, okay? So he was fetching Moses coffee, you know, bring him towel, bring him chair, just whatever it is, okay, that he needed to assist Moses, all right? Now, have you ever served God so much? I don't know how many of you here, you are serving God, but in Joshua's point of view, that's what he was doing, okay? He was just being obedient and being faithful, all right? Let me tell you one of his stories, okay? There's this famous battle that Moses did against the Amalekites. Now, if you have read that story, you will know that all Moses did in that battle was basically to lift up his hands. And as he did that, the battle went on well. If he didn't, then the battle, you know, didn't go so well, okay? And that's Moses' role. Guess what Joshua was doing? Joshua was in the front lines fighting this battle. Okay, so Joshua, he was doing kind of like the grunt work. And I'm sure if I was Joshua, and I look back, and I saw my commander chilling out on this cliff over us, and all he's doing is lifting up his hands. Not only that, the Bible says that, you know, they got a rock for Moses to sit on. So he was basically just sitting the whole time. Not only that, the Bible says, you know, when Moses got tired, one guy named Aaron, one guy named Hur was lifting up his hands for him. So really all Moses did was kind of just sit back and chill, okay? As Joshua was doing kind of like the dirty work. So it's kind of a little bit like now, okay? I'm seeing, you know, Pastor Sean just chill in his chair, but I am wondering why I'm up here, you know, doing the hard work, okay? You know what I'm saying? Okay, just kidding, Pastor Sean. But, okay, but have you ever served God so much that you asked before in your life, okay, why always me? Anybody? For those of you who've never experienced it, it's because you've just not served enough, okay? And let me tell you, I have served God so much, okay, ever since I got saved in college and all that, and not because I was very good at serving, but that's just the examples our leaders set for us, okay? So it's pretty common, all right? I started off as an usher, then they asked me to become a head usher, I went into photography, I was doing the stage deco, I was in the drama, for the longest time I was behind the sound booth doing the lights, and I told them, okay, even though I didn't know anything about any of this serving, okay, or about lights and all that, I will willingly serve until you can find someone better to replace me. Okay? I'm just filling in the gaps, all right? Now, they never bothered to find that someone better, okay? So many times, okay, week after week, it's the same people serving. And maybe because church is a little bit smaller then, okay? I remember James was in the earlier service. We would be serving together in the sound booth, and we would look at it, oh, you again this week, okay? It's just the same people, okay? And sometimes it gets tiring. Sometimes, okay, we feel like burning out, but we continue to push through anyway. Joshua must have felt kind of the same thing, okay? Why am I doing all this work while, you know, my leader just chilling out, okay? Why am I doing this? Now, on the flip side of that, okay, if you have served so much and faithfully, you may also say, why not me? Have you ever been in a position where you look at what God is doing in the lives of other people? Right? He's healing people, he's speaking to them, you know, there's all kinds of wonderful things that God is doing in other people except us. You ever felt like that before, right? And of course, we're happy that, you know, God heals you, God speaks to you and all that. But sometimes, okay, we feel like a little bit left out, isn't it? Right? Sometimes we feel like, oh man, why not me? And Joshua probably felt the exact same way. You see, Joshua was just the assistant. And we know that when Moses went up to the mountain, okay, to meet with God, get the Ten Commandments, right, Joshua was there with him. He's not involved in it directly. He's just a bystander. He's just the assistant. He's behind the scenes, okay? He's in the shadow scenes. And he's looking at how God is dealing so fantastically through Moses, okay, and to him and speaking to him face to face. He must have thought, wow, I also want that. Now, regardless of, you know, however he felt, Joshua continued to serve faithfully. And it all came together for him. But just before this scripture, the tip for all of us is this, okay? The right preparation that God has for you and me, it often doesn't taste right at first, okay? We may be tired. We may be upset. Okay, we may get offended. Maybe you get offended before. If you haven't, it means you just haven't been hanging around church people. Okay, you will get offended. Okay, all right. And it doesn't taste right at first, but that is God's preparation for us. He's preparing our character to enter into the promised land. And so for Joshua, God finally said here, it all came together, okay, all that suffering, so to speak, that he had to go through. Finally, God said to him, just as I was with Moses, just as you saw me, so I will be with you. It will all come to make sense after a while. So my encouragement to all of you is serve God. I don't know if you're serving right now, but the church is growing bigger. It will continue to grow bigger. And as church grows bigger, let me tell you, all the ministry serving positions will be filled up one day. If you Think about it for a while. It's because as the church grows bigger, a small percentage of a big number is already a lot of volunteers. To give you an example, we've got one leader. She was with us in Cyberjaya. She moved to Singapore, okay, for work, and she is with our Singapore church. Every nation. And that's a big church. It's about 1,005, 1,006 people. So a lot bigger than us. And when she went there, okay, she tried to serve. So she told me she wanted to do campus. Okay, she approached the leaders. And the leaders told her, there's no more space. It can all fill up. We got too many volunteers already. Okay, so she said, let me try other ministry. So she went to admin ministry. Same thing, okay. Too many admins already, okay. So on and so forth, okay. Today, she still can't find a place to serve, okay, because church is just too big, all right? And it tells us that the serving position that we have right now is so precious that if you're not serving, you better grab this position before it's all gone, okay? And for this person, okay, she just told me recently that she's praying about actually coming back to Malaysia, taking a lower salary just so that she can serve God. That means to her, serving is so precious and important in her growth, okay, in aligning herself to God's destiny for her, that she's willing to step out of her comfort, at least financially, just so that she's able to serve God, okay? Now, today in this church, I'm very sure that there are still some slots available, okay? You've got to grab it fast before it all runs out, okay? And if it runs out, okay, Cyberjaya still have slots, okay? So we welcome you. Come on down. Don't worry, okay? We'll create positions for you, okay? Just a plug there, okay? Right? And so it's very important, okay, to figure out in what way God wants to prepare us, okay? And in my extremely biased opinion, I feel that serving is one of the best ways to train our character, okay? To be able to then later accomplish what God needs us to do. So, in conclusion, okay, we need to arise. Sometimes you just don't feel like waking up, right? It's tough to crawl out of bed. You can't snooze the alarm, you know, often enough. You're in the mood and all that, right? And I say wake up is because to wake up every day, it's really quite an accomplishment. At the same time, to do it consistently, reliably, faithfully, right? In the spiritual, we also have to wake up when it comes to serving. Not just serve God, but serve Him faithfully, to be there, you know, every day, every week. Doesn't matter if you're the same person in and out. You know, that's how God prepares us. So we've got to wake up every week. The second thing is we've got to actually get up out of bed, okay? Out of our comfort, out of our chair, okay? If we want to align ourselves to God's purpose. So find kind of like the place that God wants you to be at, okay? And it could be very well a ministry place, okay? It could be somewhere that you are just uncomfortable when someone asks you, can you share, you know, the offering? Can you share your testimony in live group? I remember when they first asked me to come up on stage, okay? And I think like most of you, I am an introvert. I'm super shy. This is not comfortable for me. I get nervous every time I stand, you know, in front of you. I mean, can you imagine, right? And so I did that anyway, and I felt that, wow, actually, when I overcame kind of like the discomfort, it's still kind of uncomfortable now, but because I got used to it, and I realized looking back, that was how God was training me to one day preach on stage, okay, just by sharing that 2 minute in live group or, you know, or do the offering, something like that, okay? So if your leader asks you to do something uncomfortable for you, most likely that is the place that you need to be, okay? So prepare yourself for a bit of discomfort, okay? And finally, the last one here is we need to look up, okay? We need to have a posture change to always figure out, okay, in every decision that we have, what is God thinking about this, okay? What is His posture? What is His perspective? Now, if you don't remember anything at all, remember this, okay? That at the end of the day, in order for us to accomplish God's purpose for our lives, it really doesn't depend on how much strength we can muster up. It doesn't depend on how much courage, right, we can summon when we need it the most. We've got to remember that actually the strength and the courage that God has promised to us, it really rests on His purpose. And if you read Joshua, I can't even read his conquest later on when he defeated Ai and Jericho and all, defeated different tribes and all that, okay? You will realize that looking back, it is because he went through the preparation. It is because he took that step of faith to go into the promise. It is because he had a different perspective, okay, a different posture that allowed him to have the strength and courage to later on be successful. Okay, he was always dependent on God. He had what it took because he relied on God.